Good morning. I am your pinch hitter today. Ben's a little under the weather. He called on Thursday and said, you know, we've been telling people if you feel bad or you may be sick, stay home. Said, I don't know how bad I am, how sick I am, but I think I probably ought to stay home so I practice what I preach. So that's why where he's at, he's not in anything severe that we know of, and so that's what the situation we've got going on today. Today, I titled my lesson, Anxiety in the World We Live In Today. Nothing new. I'm not going to teach anything you had never heard. We're going to use the Bible to answer that title a little bit. And for example, we got a lot of anxiety. Anxiety is when you don't feel sure of what's going on. You don't feel like you're sure you're in control of what you need to be doing. There's all kind of issues going on in life. And it makes us anxious. It makes us worry. And we'll be reading in Philippians later where it tells us we don't need to be anxious. And we want to explore why that is true this morning. Coronavirus, COVID-19, this is what started all this, isn't it? You know, as far as this year's situation we've got going on right now. You know, the economy's crashed. Jobs have been lost. Bill paying's become difficult to do. Buying groceries and supplies, not just buying them, but having something to buy. You know, all that was a problem. You know, fear-mongering by the media, retirement plan, just own it. I can just keep going. And if I hadn't got you anxious yet, I probably got something on the list I could add and make you get anxious, you know. But these are all material things we've listed, every one of them. They don't follow us when we leave this earth, none of them. They'll be here for others, and whoever is born in this world to come will have these same things. They've been around since mankind has been around. We're going to be taking the bulk of our lesson today out of Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be reading verse 19 through 34 right now. We're going to read that whole reading, and then we'll be going into verses together and reading some other verses to explain those verses so we kind of see what's being said about our situation when we deal with the Lord. And this is Jesus who's going to be saying all what we're getting ready to read right now. Starting in verse 19, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where both moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor of your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what we shall eat or what we shall drink, what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles." So you can see there's a lot of lessons in what we just read. Not just what we're using today, but there's a lot of lessons in what we just read. And so what we're going to do right now, we're going to look at the first few verses 19 through 21. Reading that again quickly, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." These treasures are temporary. Anything we get in a physical way may be a treasure to us, maybe something we have to have, something we need, something we cherish, but it's temporary. It's not lasting. Verse 20 says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, and neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." There's a place we can put our treasures that are more valuable than the physical treasures. Our treasures that are more valuable are our spiritual treasures, the ones that affect our soul, the ones that affect our destiny, our eternity. That's the ones that are so valuable. That's the ones that cannot be broken into our home and stole by thieves. That's something that's a gift from God, and only God can give that to us. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And this is probably a very true statement. There's a lot of people I know, and I'm sure people that you know, that resemble the statement we just read then, that you know where their heart is. That there's money and what they can buy and possessions and what you think about what they have, and all this means so much to them so that they can show it in front of you. And that's where their treasure is. That's where their heart is. And the Christian that follows the Word of God is going to be just the opposite of that. You might not know anything about his treasure, but you know his treasure is God because that's where his heart's at. Let's look over in Proverbs 23 and verse 4 and 5 to go along with what we just read. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. Do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. So riches are not lasting. We go to work every day because we have to have the money we can earn. Need it. Got to pay bills. But that's not why we get out of bed. Shouldn't be why we get out of bed. Because if that's what we're doing, those riches are going to fly off and leave us. And I think a lot of people found that out during this corona epidemic thing we've got going on. A lot of people found that out. In January, who'd have thought we'd been seeing what we're seeing March through May? Who'd have thought that? And look how many people were humbled. At work, I tell people, when things are going good, be humble. Because the bad things will humble you. Think about that. Just because things are good don't mean they're going to stay that way. You've got to be able to live life on an even keel, serving God first, doing what he says first, and trusting and having faith to realize he will do what he says in return. Guaranteed, he will do that. Also, let's look over in Matthew 19 and verses 21 through 22. Matthew 19, 21 through 22, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know, this is the rich young ruler that, you know, Jesus was talking to. And he told him, he said, I do all the things you said, Jesus. I'm doing everything you said. Now, what do I lack to be perfect and go to heaven? Jesus said, well, you want to be perfect. In other words, you want to be complete. Sell everything you have and give to the poor and then follow me. In other words, you can't buy your way into heaven. You can't buy your way into my grace. And that's something we've got to understand. Verse 19 through 21 is trying to tell us we need to define our treasure, not to each other, but to ourselves. Because that's our heart. Our treasure and our heart are equal. There's no difference. If my heart's right, my treasure is going to be correct. If my treasure's right, my heart will be right. Because if we seek the treasure that we don't need, the treasure that's temporary, then my heart will not be there for the long haul with God. It will not be right. So one of the ways that we can deal with this anxiety is realizing that all the stuff that we've lost, all the stuff that's been taken away from us, all the things, you know, that are infringing on our liberties and our freedoms and our privileges as Americans maybe and other things, these are temporary. They have nothing to do with our salvation. Us and our relationship with God and our obedience to his word do. And so that's the thing we need to be focused on. And look over in verses 22 through 23 back in Matthew 6 again. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, we as Christians have been shown the light of Jesus. Go back to John chapter 1 and find that out. We have been shown the light. We've been shown the way. And if we have our lamp, our eye, and our body not letting that light in, and have turned that light to darkness, how great is that darkness? Because you know what? We'll be cast into outer darkness in hellfire for eternity one day. That's a scary thought. That's a sobering thought. That makes my bank account look insignificant. I've always said in business, if all I got to do is make money, I'll be okay. Because a lot of other things you can't do. Don't worry about money. Time comes, it'll be there. Don't worry about house payments. Time comes, we'll get it done. We'll get things done. Don't know how, but we will. God will take a way to help us through this. But you got to do our part with God before he can do his part with us. If your eye is good, you're full of goodness. You're full of goodness. You're healthy. Our soul and our spirit are healthy if our eye is full of goodness. But when our eye is bad and darkness, that is evil, comes in, we're not just unhealthy, we're lost. We're not in a good spot at all when that happens. Verse 24 of Matthew 6. This is a big one. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That is riches when we hear mammon. You can't do it. Let me tell you what, it's awful good to be a faithful, hardcore Christian when things are good. Easy. We thank God for everything going, be happy and smiling, and just have a good warm fuzzy going all the time. But you know what God wants? He wants a warm fuzzy going on no matter what's going on. That's what God wants. James teaches us, you know, that faith without works is dead. And he says, I will show you my faith through my works. You know, if we believe in God, we believe in the Bible, we believe what it says, no matter what's going on, we will do what he tells us to do. We will believe what he says he will do. That's the most reassuring thing out there, because there's not one human being alive during all these times that give us anxiety that we can trust that way. None. Not me, not you. No, we're all infallible. Humans are capable of sinning. That's what we're capable of doing. We're only capable of overcoming it through God, the perfect, perfect God. Through his son Jesus, we can do these things. Look over at Luke chapter 16, verse 9 through 13. Luke 16, 9 through 13. Jesus again talking. He says, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fall, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unfaithful also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what another man in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's up to us. Are we going to depend on mammon, riches, physical things to determine our attitude, our happiness, our faith, our trust, our future? Are we going to do that? You know, riches, they don't last. If that's where we're putting our trust, our treasure, then that becomes our God. A fallible God. A God that will not help you when going is tough. It will leave you. In a little bit, we'll be getting into Philippians. And it's a good thing, I want to make a comment I make there about this, kind of go along with what we're saying. I'm going to save it for then. Look over Galatians 1, chapter 10, chapter 1, verse 10, excuse me. Galatians 1, 10. Galatians 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. God or riches is what that's saying to us. Who do we choose? God or riches? If we choose God, we have everything he says, because God, he doesn't lie. Everything he says is true. If he tells us, you do this, I'll do that, he's going to do it. no matter what. Look at your HEB, Walmart, and all the ones that go out of the way on their advertisements to prove that they're going to have everything you need. Then guess what? They didn't. Who are we going to trust? But during all this time when it was really bleak, God had not changed. We did. God did not change. We did. God or riches? Will we turn our back on God when times are tough? That's the question we've got to ask ourselves. Will we turn our back on God? He's not turning his back on us. Guaranteed. He tells us that. Case closed. In verse 23 through 24, I'm not going to reread all this because we've heard it so many times. It talks about not worrying. You know, don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry about your food. Don't worry about your shelter. Don't worry about all these things. God's telling us, I take care of the flowers and the lilies of the field. I take care of the birds in the air. I take care of all this. You are more precious than any of these. And I will take care of you too. Trust me. That's what he's telling us right there. All we got to do is what verse 33 says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Everything we need things. That's what things. We don't need to be rich physically. We need to be rich spiritually. That's guaranteed in an abundance we can never understand. But you know what? God also blesses us physically too. Don't think he doesn't. I don't want to imply that he does not. But the one thing we get equally, not everyone in here has the same income. Not everyone in the city of Taylor or the state of Texas, not everyone has the same income. Never has, never will. There's no such thing as equal. Forget that word. There's nothing. But there's one thing about God that is equal. Because he's the perfect, perfect creator of the word equal. Whatever he tells us that we get, we're going to get it. Every one of us, all we have to do, no matter our income, no matter our status in life, no matter our status in society, no matter. Every one of us, if we do what the Bible tells us about salvation and live that faithful life, we will have heaven, and it will be equal to all of us. Not one of us will get more than the other. Not one. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 through 11. 1 Timothy. All right, chapter 4, verse 8 through 11. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. And look what verse 10 just told us. Look what it told us. For to this end we both labor and what? Suffer reproach. Because we trust in the living God. Just because we trust in the living God doesn't mean we're going to have a rose garden. Doesn't mean that. What it does mean is after the comma, it says, God, who is what? The Savior of all men, especially those who believe. So we're going to be saved regardless of what happens. Regardless of what happens. So why worry? That's what Jesus is telling us. Why worry? Don't worry that you've got it harder than others. Don't worry you work harder than others. Don't worry he works less than you. Don't worry he makes more than you. Don't worry they got to work during the corona thing and because they were essential and you didn't because you was not essential. Don't worry about that. Don't be anxious over that. That doesn't change what we just read. That if you believe what, you're going to be saved if you do what this Bible says. That's what it's telling us. And now we want to look over in Philippians. Philippians 4. All right, Philippians 4, verses 8 through 11. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice greatly in the Lord now that your care for me had flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. If you go back up to verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That's unconditional. It doesn't say do it when times are good. It doesn't say do it when times are bad. It just says do it. Rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. We got a lot going for us if we do what the Bible says. Don't worry about that anxiety. Don't worry about things. Rejoice. Be thankful. Be joyous. Be happy. Because when it's all said and done, what's waiting for us in the end is the peace that passes understanding. All through this bad stuff we've got going on in our country, all through it, the peace that passes understanding is not when will the economy change, when will we get to go to work. That's not it. What is it is that if I do my job as a Christian, I will be in heaven one day. No matter what happens, I'll be in heaven one day. So that's putting your trust in God. The other way is putting your trust in mammon. Think about it. If we trust God, all these things will work their way out and everything will be good. Look over in James 5, verse 7 through 9. James 5, 7 through 9. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and later rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standing at the door. Be patient. That's what we're talking about. You know, patience and perseverance. We'll get through this. We'll get through this. Lord willing, one day this building will be open 3 times a week again. Lord willing, we'll have the first Sunday meal again. And on, Lord willing. Lord willing, we'll be door knocking again. We'll get through this. Our job is to be patient. Keep reading. You know, you got more time to read the Bible than ever. You got more time than ever to pray. Do it. That's what we need to be doing. And we'll get through this because he will not let us down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. 3 good sermon topics. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. That's kind of like rejoice again, I say rejoice. In everything give thanks. During Corona, give thanks. It could be worse. During Corona, give thanks, because that cannot change the direction of my soul. Only I can do that. If I make bad choices, I'm going to have bad consequences. God's not changing. He is not going to change. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Things that we can do. Good days, bad days, any day. We can do those things. We must do those things. John 14, 27. John 14, 27. Christ again talking, says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. But not as the world." His peace is perfect. His peace will comfort you. His peace will reassure you. The government sent you a stimulus check. You get it. Now what? Wait for the next one? You know, see what I'm saying? It's just a Band-Aid. It's a temporary thing. But the peace from Jesus Christ is there no matter what's going on in this earth down here where we are. His peace should be with us because it's unlike any other peace this earth can offer us. It's the perfect peace. It's complete peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33, God says, "I'm not the author of confusion, but of what? Peace." We make ourselves go through the turmoil, not God. We do. So peace without fear is what's being talked about there. Peace without fear. And then we're going to get to toward the end right here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 7. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 through 7. "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." So if we want the mighty hand of God to exalt us in due time, all we have to do is humble ourselves. God's mighty hand will exalt us in due time if we humble ourselves. Cast all your cares, put all your corona cares, any other cares, on him. And why? Because he says he cares for you. God is the perfect caregiver. He's perfect in everything he offers and gives us. Everything God says his Bible is offering to us, we got to be the takers. We'll either be the takers or we'll be the deniers of it. We won't accept it. Humble ourselves before God so that we can be exalted one day. Humble ourselves. Humble ourselves right now during the bad times. Humble ourselves during the good times so that we can be exalted on his time. How do we get this peace without anxiety? You know, we read all about this. We read all about it. Well, there's one thing we got to say about this peace without anxiety. We have to be a Christian. We have to be a Christian. First, we must be a Christian. Romans 10, 13 through 17 tells us that we have to hear the Word of God. Have to hear it. Hear it preached. Read it out of the Bible. Hear it in your mind as you read it to yourself. You got to hear the Word of God. And then Mark 16, 16, John 3, 16 tells us we have to believe the Word we heard. And believe means everything that Word has to offer, we have to believe it. Not the easy parts, but all parts. And then we have to repent. Acts 2, 38. We have to repent, which means we turn away. We recognize what's holding us back. We recognize our shortcomings. We recognize our sin and our failure. And we're pricked into our heart knowing that we're going to be condemned to hell if we don't get rid of that sin. And we repent. We turn away from that life of sin and go forward not living that life again. And then we have to confess, Romans 10, 9 through 10. We have to confess Christ before man. Christ said, "If you don't confess me before man, I will not confess you before my Father in heaven." We have to confess Christ before man. And then we have to be what? Baptized. That means immersed, completely submerged underwater. That's equal to Jesus died on the cross and then rose up from the grave. We have to be buried in the water to symbolize that. And then when we rise up out of that water, we rise up out of the watery grave of baptism, a new man, with everlasting life for our soul in heaven if we follow out the teachings. 1 Peter 3:21, be baptized. We have to do that. Now, if we've done these things, or you do these things at some point in the future, then yes, you can be helped by the teachings of this Bible. Then the last thing we have to do to keep this going, We have to continually live faithfully. We have to continually demonstrate our faith through our acts, through our actions, through our deeds. Don't turn her back on God. Be faithful, be joyful, be rejoiceful. Remember, be patient. It'll work out. In the end, it's going to work out because God told us that. It's going to work out. For you, for me, for everybody. We've got to be patient and we've got to believe. We've got to believe. That's what the message is I'm going to leave you with today. So if anybody here today needs to come in contact with the blood of Christ, that is available to you here this morning. If you are a member and you have problems in your life, whether it be of sin or it be of physical nature or just need the prayers of the church for whatever it may be, that's available to you here this morning as we come forward now if you would like to while we stand and sing.